listening to Fox Sports Radio.
There's been a ton of discussion about possibilities to finish the NBA season, and a lot of them, quite frankly, centered in Las Vegas.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that out there. There's been conversations on ESPN.com where they talked about Vegas being a centralized location, having games set up there in Sin City. And the latest is Chris Mannix, who's been covering the NBA for a long, long time. He has also chimed in thinking that Vegas is the only one that makes sense.
All right, so let's think about the decision-making process for the NBA. So oftentimes when we make decisions, and I say we as in people who are normal workaday people, they're deciding where to go on vacation, where to send their kids to college, or maybe send their kids to a prep school for high school, whatever it is, they're big decisions oftentimes, but they're often made with static information. And what I mean by that is, you generally in February know that you're going to have your job. Let's say you've had a job you've had for 15 years. You feel pretty secure. You don't have to wonder, well, if I get laid off, what do we do? Right now, nowadays, obviously, you can see with the virus and such, things can, the world can happen, right? Stuff happens. And then you got to change your assumptions. Well, what the NBA is doing here is they are juggling many, many, many potential factors. And it's almost impossible to make a final decision now. Rather, they model it, is the term, to say, okay, if this happens, we'll do this. If this happens, we'll do this. But it's not as simple as an A or a B. Will I have my job or won't I? Will the kid pass the summer school or won't he? It's usually a dozen considerations that all seem to affect each other. And you know, there's a reason people go to MIT and Harvard and the high level kind of work they're doing. It applies to the business world oftentimes. Now, we don't get insight into all those decisions. What we tend to get is the final answer, not how they got to it. But this is unusual because we're all speculating along with their considerations in-house about what's the possibilities. So I think the first thing we got to realize is, anything we say now, contemplating the possibilities, what would be a good answer, what would be a bad answer, any of that is all based on what we know today. And each day things could change. I mean, I don't think this is very likely from what I hear, but there could be a type of shot you can take, and lo and behold, the virus is knocked out in everybody, right? That seems unlikely, like right away, but on the other hand, things could get much, much worse. So let's assume the general direction of things keeps going. Man, the idea of something, Jonas, that could leverage the excitement of the NCAA tournament. Because let's agree to something. Is there any point of the normal NBA season that's exciting as March Madness?
Oh, God. You would need a game seven type scenario.
But and that's something that only happens for a day or two.
Right? Exactly.
But over the course of even a week or two.
No, not even close. Not even close.
So the question is how, because obviously the NBA is in a better financial position than college basketball.
Yes.
Just trend line wise.
Yeah.
So you don't want to say, well, let's just emulate the NCAA, because then in theory you're going to be at their level, which isn't where the NBA wants to be. But if you could co-opt a part of it, and Bill Simmons, who, in my opinion, obviously a media success, also has some pretty original ideas that I enjoy listening to, is he's often for years speculated on, well, you know, you got the number 8 seed, number 7 seed. Maybe what you do is you have 4 teams competing for those 2 slots in a little round robin tournament at the end of the year. And then it would actually, in a way, help with tanking, because the teams, maybe they might be 4 games out in the last couple of weeks of the 8th spot, but they're tied for the 10th spot. So lo and behold, they'd be in that tournament with 7, 8, 9, and 10 competing for 2 spots. That actually, you know, I mean, it kind of shows how a tournament could fit in with the NBA, but that would be interesting, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I think it would be interesting. I think the NBA needs to do something with their playoff format.
Oh, so you're saying forgetting the current realities we're trying to work around, you're saying if everything was normal, they'd have to do something.
Yeah, I think that we go into the playoffs having a pretty good understanding who's going to win. There's no real excitement attached to it. There's no real surprises, and it's based on the fact...
You realize you're saying that after one of the bigger surprises with Toronto last year.
Well, no, but there were a lot of injuries that factored into Toronto winning a championship last year. I mean, without those injuries, who knows what happens? If you have just both teams healthy in a seven-game series, the best team is going to win every single time, and there's no real surprise element to it. And so a lot of these early-round playoff series, I don't think people are as into as they could be if we did either fewer games or a different format altogether.
We were debating about the new NFL playoff policy. And the theory was, hey, the number two seed, this was my theory with a new system, really gets screwed. The theory is, hey, you should have gotten a bye. You got a bye before, but now you're down there in the muck. But because of that, you got number seven in. So the trade-off of a team having a long shot versus number two maybe not getting the due they deserve for being two, that's been the balance. And Jonas, one of the things you talked about was, hey, I like the idea of the long shot, the Cinderella having a chance. Hope is a great commodity, right?
Yes.
Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, that's what I like. I like the fact that all of a sudden it's a little bit more wide open, that you're not, you know, even though it's a one-game playoff, in essence, every single game in the NFL playoffs, I like the fact that you throw in another team, you take away an advantage, and I agree with you, the number two seed is getting screwed in this new format, but I do like the new twist and the new wrinkle added to it.
And at the core, it's the idea of hope over fairness.
Right.
And I'm not saying that to be biased, but let's just say that's the way to say it.
Yeah.
But maybe it could be a little different. Okay. Now, for the NBA, you're saying typically the way they have the seven-game series, so it's not one and done, that the best team, the better team, is going to win maybe always, though I don't think always, but a vast majority of the time.
Yeah, majority of the time, yes.
So what you're saying is, and I'm saying this in a way it's going to sound biased, maybe so. You're saying is you'd rather a team that's not supposed to win, win. Sometimes.
I would rather there be the possibility of a team that shouldn't win, winning. I think it would make it more interesting.
Okay, but you do realize then, now this is going to sound goofy, and it's meant to be goofy. Imagine at the end of the seven-game series, when the teams won the fourth game, whatever that is, it could be after four games, whatever, that they bring out this big pinball thing where they've got the bouncing balls in there. I guess it's more of a table tennis type thing, right? Ping pong. And if there's just one red out of 1,000. So it's 1 in 1,000, but if that red's the one that pops up, they flip the winner. At the end, they have to take the trophy away. They give it. Michael Jordan gets the trophy taken away, and it's given to Karl Malone. You would say, well, RJ, you're making that extreme. But effectively, that's what you're saying is create some variance in the event that the best team doesn't win, but something interferes with it, because that's going to be exciting.
Yes. Yeah,
I love that you're not denying it.
No, I listen, this is not about, you know, who deserves it the most. This is about entertainment purposes. And for entertainment purposes, I want there to be a possibility that something out of the ordinary could happen. And it's why the NCAA tournament is so much fun to watch, because it is a one-game playoff every single time out, one and done. And I think the NBA drags on for too long, and ultimately the end of the story we saw coming the second we opened the book, and I just don't like that. It wears on me.
But in a way, when you dismiss last year's surprise by injuries, you know, but is it that the unexpected event?
Yeah, but when injuries occur, I don't put it in the same category as lowering the number of games in a series, because all of a sudden, if you lose that first game and it's a five-game series, now you're on the ropes as a favorite. This is, you know, catastrophic injuries that took place in a series that we've never seen before. Two of their best players out, and I don't put that in the same category.
Yeah, but let's agree to the following: if they were out for 10 days, or if they were out for extended periods, it would have had the same effect. So
yes,
obviously, lamentable. lamentable that they got hurt in any major way, lamentable they got hurt at all, but it was that randomness that you're talking about there that keeps the better team from winning 100% of the time. And what's interesting about this, and I'm RJ Bell talking with Jonas Knox, we are straight out of Vegas, is poker. One of the reasons that poker has been so popular for so long is because it has just the right amount of luck and skill. There's certain poker games, five-card stud is one of them, is if you play, that's an old-school game, right? If you play wrong at five stud, you hardly have any chance to win. If you make like a wrong decision in a hand, you're out pretty much. You're not going to win. In hold'em, you can make a wrong decision and you're going to win enough that it doesn't punish the wrong decision-making enough to run off the bad players. And that is a huge consideration in any casino game, any kind of game that has gambling around, is how much luck do we want, how much skill. Because too much luck and no one that's skillful is going to play, right? If nothing mattered except getting the low spade in the hole, then all of a sudden now it's all luck. Some games like chess are almost purely, if not purely, skill. Where's that lever at? I personally have enjoyed the NBA playoffs a ton because I feel like that the true winner, the team that's supposed to win, wins more often. And you're saying maybe for your liking, the better team, the team that's supposed to win, is winning too much.
I would just like more of a likelihood of there being an upset in the NBA, and I don't think we have that.
So, in general, if you go to a five – and this actually wouldn't bother me at all the first couple rounds – is if you went five games, 7-7, then obviously the upset factors go – chance goes up.
Oh, yeah. I would be totally okay with 5-5, 7-7, or even 3-5, 7-7.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Right out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Now, what extra flair would Vegas add to that, though? Because it doesn't. I find it hard to believe that Vegas would just shut down except for this. Like you mentioned, what
it
about
doesn't shut down for anything?
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, what about having a players' casino to where the players have a casino or they roll in some tables there in one centralized room? Like, how would Vegas make this appealing to those players?
Well, I think the thing that isn't as sexy, that isn't discussed as much, is just how much infrastructure we have in Vegas. Whereas the conventions that bring in, I mean, this sounds insane, 300,000-400,000 people for a week.
Yeah.
Is even New York City struggles with taking that kind of influx of people. We are built for that. I mean, literally, it was built from the ground up with an eye towards, hey, Super Bowl weekend, we can have the influx, no problem. There are arenas in casinos that I still don't know about. I've been in Vegas 20 years. I hear, you know, the Orleans has a second arena. It's like, really? Where's that at? Well, you take the, I mean, it's like amazing the way how big these casinos are physically, that they can just fit an arena in one of the corners of it and you don't even know. I mean, you've seen that, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. The one that gets me is the Orleans, because I remember, like, I've walked by the Orleans 100 times and we would just stop in there to get a drink, and then people would say, oh, they've got beer pong tournaments in here. And I remember walking around going, with these low ceilings and like and the lighting, like, how is there anything in here? And they have full-fledged basketball tournaments at the Orleans all the time, and I don't know where the hell it's located.
Exactly.
And I don't get it.
And it's like even within the MGM, which all the big fights used to be before the new arena, is there's just a full arena in there.
Yeah.
I've seen Springsteen there. And it's just like, I'm not even sure what it's used for anymore. You don't even know. You'd have to walk by the certain door to know where it even is.
I saw a UFC event on Memorial Day weekend there. And Memorial Day weekend, obviously, it was really, really busy. And there was a bunch of people there. And I was shocked when we finally found the arena, because you'd have no idea it was behind those doors.
And
it just seems like a restroom.
It is the size of the whole thing. And that's why people always think they can walk. Little tip for the non-Vegas people coming one day. If you can see the sign down the strip and you think it's walkable,
right,
it's like 6 miles. You
oh,
don't
yeah.
realize it because it's almost like some weird world that everything got so big, the buildings, that you feel like, oh, it's just three buildings down. Yeah, each building is a mile long. That's the whole point. So great discussion. It's going to be interesting to see the way the NBA handles it. What I will say is the NBA has been smart enough and they're very intelligent, obviously, all the leagues are in different ways, to see, hey, this country is going to need this. And if we can be the one to deliver it, an escape, some entertainment in the midst of the trouble, that helps our brand. Just like this whole Michael Jordan doc, it's being moved up. And why? Because people need it now. It's a business decision. But you know something? When business is correlated to the joy of the customer, then a business decision is a good thing.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
RJ, one of the big storylines heading into the NFL draft coming up at the end of the month is where will Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama end up?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And this is kind of a course. This is one of those 101 courses when it comes to being a wise guy in Vegas. And even Fezzik, who is brilliant and in many ways understands Vegas, can operate in Vegas better than me. His ability in-game betting, for example, is the best in the world. His mind just, he really is a Rain Man type. He sees it. He can act upon it. And I'm still thinking about it. Now, some people think fast. Some people think slower. There's advantages in each. But man, oh man, in Vegas, there's a lot of times, blackjack counting, all that stuff. That the speed of thought is so important. And Fez is amazing at it. I think he might be listening. I'm not sure. But the thing is that when it comes to reading people and figuring out what's their motivation, I have come up with a rule that is so simple that and so powerful, and it applies to Tua. And here's the rule. Are they saying anything that is less than ideal for their interest? So, Jonas, I'm guessing, so you've been with a gal engaged, right? For years.
Yeah.
Did you feel it right off the go? Like you met her and you're like the thunderbolts, what Italians say. They got hit by the thunderbolt. Or was it, did it grow?
It grew. It was promising, but, you know, I always am very, you know, cautious, you know.
You had that heart.
Yes.
Okay. At a certain point, though, you had substantial interest.
Yes.
At that point, were you volunteering a bunch of information or any information that was not to your advantage? It made you look bad?
No, I don't think so.
No, because you're a human being, right? There's no. So when someone tells you something or it's revealed and it isn't necessarily to their benefit, it's bad for them, that's the information you tend to believe, because why else would they say it? I'll give you an example. We hired a few months ago, great hire. I think we're going to see great things from it. A video producer, a guy who had a background in esports, background in poker, just a guru when it comes to video related to those kind of events. Well, poker, esports, sports betting, it's all kind of related. And we had a long interview. I liked him. I got his resume the next day, and he had got a graduate degree from Columbia. The freaking guy's an Ivy League graduate from Columbia. Didn't mention it during an hour and a half discussion. So you know this guy is not the type that's going to lie about positive things if he's not even telling you the truth about something that's so freaking positive, right?
Right.
All right, so let's go to Tua. Why would they say anything but he looks good? Oh, he's on pace. He's ahead of pace. Well, only if it was true and they felt obligated to say it. The flip side is, how much do we believe the positive? Do they have, you know, is there a motivation to lie in the positive? Well, yeah, because it's positive. So the point being, whenever you hear any person or organization say something that benefits their interests, there's no reason for them not to say it.
Right.
And thus, I don't believe it. If you somehow hear something that goes against their interests, that's something you can say, well, why else would they say that? It must be true. So that's all I've heard from Tua's camp is how great it's going. If only once I heard, you know, it's going great in these nine areas, but in this one area, his ability to stop and throw immediately, it's actually a little behind schedule. All of a sudden now everything feels like there might be some truth in it. But wouldn't you agree that we've heard nothing but positive from Tua's camp?
I mean, he talked about if he had to play right now today, he feels like he could go do it.
So I mean, that sounds pretty positive.
Yeah. So I didn't take much from it. I mean, that's what he should say. He doesn't have – he's trying to convince everybody that he's ready to go and the issue it is no longer an issue. Don't worry about the hip. But, I mean, I don't know how you dislocate a hip and all of a sudden are just ready to play football again at the start of next season. It's weird.
And the way that you just said that is exactly correct. And let me drill in. I don't blame – Tua or his camp for putting a positive spin on things. In fact, it'd be absurd for them to do the extreme opposite, right? Is make it sound pessimistic. But if you can get somewhere within the truth by somewhat being less than perfect, meaning this isn't the best possible outcome we could ever see, but amongst the spectrum, we think he's about on the 85th percentile of growing and the healing. It's like, oh, okay, they're talking like it's not the best thing ever, so I'm starting to believe it a little bit. So in general, this is the takeaway from the lecture. Lectures can be fun. I don't think lecture is the right word. It's not as exciting. Is if someone says something that literally they couldn't have said it better for their benefit, you've got to question it. If someone says something that's positive, but generally is less than the perfect thing they could have said about themselves, you probably are more inclined to believe it. And all I've heard from Tua's camp is the best possible outcome's been occurred, and thus it makes me skeptical we're getting the whole truth.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.